Citizen Kane? No. Godfather? Seen it. Casablanca? No. Raging Bull? No. Singing in the Rain? No. Gone with the Wind? A little bit. Lawrence Arabia? No. Schindler's List? No. Vertigo? I saw it for 10 minutes. Wizard of Oz? Yeah, I've seen it. City Lights? No. Never heard of it. Searchers? No. Star Wars? Yes. Psycho? No.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Haven't Seen It podcast, the podcast where we see movies we should have seen a long time ago and then review them for you. I'm Jen Stansfield.
And I'm Sean Merrick.
And our little podcast here is sometimes a wonderful thing and sometimes not so great.
Oh, it depends on what we've watched and what we're discovering for the first time. You know? It's a great tool just for us to discover new things that people say are great, and then you see them and you go, well, maybe people are wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. The first movie, I guess we'll just go ahead and get into it, and the first movie that we watched this week was Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes, the Bonnie and Clyde, the 1967 feature film starring Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
Yes, and also Faye Dunaway's side boob.
Yes, it was a new era for the for filmmakers in the late 60s, early 70s, and the studios went, you know what, we're out of ideas. Let's start with more side boob.
And blood.
And blood, and implied fellatio.
Yes.
And supposed impotence, and just a lot of adult themes. You know, let's mix it up with the old timey feel.
Yeah, and let's show people in the same bed together instead of those new fangled double beds people see on sitcoms all the time.
Yes,
totally new era.
Ushered in the Bradys in the bed together on television. They said, you know, Bonnie and Clyde did it. Why can't the Bradys?
They're both wholesome. It's fine.
Yeah.
So just to give a basic overview of the plot for anybody who hasn't seen it, Bonnie and Clyde is based, obviously, on the real-life story of Bonnie and Clyde, bank robbers in the 30s during the Depression. They rob banks, and then they die. And that's pretty much the story.
Not every time, but...
Well, I mean, that's the plot of the movie. Rob bank, die.
Pretty much,
that's how it goes.
Pretty much, but it was, you know, it's based on reports and memoirs, and Warren Beatty helped produce it. Well, was one of the producers, and getting it together, and there was definitely a lot going on in terms of, like, stylistic choices and just things that were saying it was new for this era, and it was just I loved it.
It was, I thought it was pretty enjoyable, too. I really enjoyed, the reason this movie was such a huge landmark is just because of the sheer violence, the amount of violence, especially at the end, and, of course, the sexual themes.
It's the amount of violence for, major studio release, for at the time. There's movies, like horror films... that would employ the use of some really graphic violence. You wouldn't know about them unless if you're looking for them. This is like Bonnie and Clyde. This is, probably put out in, obviously something where, like, you're just like, okay, what's up with the movies this week? X, Y, and Z, Bonnie and Clyde, big, multiplex or whatever it is in that era.
The theater,
or whatever.
The one screen.
I'm just assuming
I don't
that
think they had multiplexes back then, did they?
Well, I'm just assuming that things were getting to be this is it ushered in a new era. So mm-hmm. like it just I thought there was a lot of cultural significance to it, and from a historical standpoint, I don't know if they've pulled any punches in it, but it was definitely informative.
Yeah. It was good, and we also had, of course, there's a lot of star power in this movie, too. We have Warren Beatty as Clyde. We have Faye Dunaway and her boob as Bonnie. And then also Gene Hackman is in this movie.
and Estelle Parsons, who won the Best Supporting Actress for her role as Blanche.
The most annoying character in this entire movie.
Well, that's the beauty of it, though, I guess, is that her performance is so polarizing that it's like, well,
I mean, she did a really, really good job, but I really, really wanted someone to kill her character. I just wanted her to get shot. The entire movie, I was like, please kill her. Oh, Jesus, if I was in this movie and if I was a character, I would kill her. It was awful. But, I mean, her performance was great. But Jesus Christ, that character sucked.
Well, the thing that's funny, that's great, too, is that not having seen it, I wouldn't have known. I just assumed that this movie was just about Bonnie and Clyde.
And it was actually about their gang.
It was about their gang, but I didn't realize I had a gang.
I didn't either.
I don't know. I didn't know anything. I just was, okay, they were bank robbers, and they got shot. And, that's it. But I didn't realize they had a gang. So when, the fact that, Blanche, survives till, the end. And actually, I think she was one, when the movie came out, she was one of the surviving people.
Oh, really?
It was her and... CW, whatever last name.
I'm just going to want to call him CM, so he could be C. Montgomery Burns.
C. Montgomery Burns. I think his name was CW...
Oh, that's totally what I should do.
Tubbs.
CW Tubbs?
I didn't write down notes. But, I think they're the two remaining people that were alive when this movie came out to actually... I think Blanche actually disputed her character and says, how could you make me portray me as a screaming goon?
Which she was. Oh, she sucked.
But what? But to say that it was a beautiful thing to not know what happened to her character, so I wasn't going into it expecting, well, why didn't she just die? I thought she was just gonna get shot and that was gonna be
it. I really did think that was what was gonna happen. She's kinda like she would have been like one of those Star Trek people in the red uniform. The first person to die.
Be a casualty.
Because I so expected it. Because the minute she opened her stupid mouth and started screaming and running around with like a pan in her hand, I was like, die. Please die. And she didn't. She was the one who lived.
But that's it. It was character development. It was attention to plot. Attention to, just moving a story along using performances.
And kind of wacky, too. There were some definite wacky moments. Like, Gene Wilder is also in this movie. This is his first
film role.
Film role, and his car gets stolen by Bonnie and Clyde, and then he and the chick he's making out with end up in the car with them, and they end up having a great time, and they eating burgers and like cracking jokes.
Having a great time.
They did. They had a really, really good time until he mentioned he was an Undertaker, and then Bonnie got all mad and kicked him out. But I mean, that's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. And
wacky,
weird. And it's something different.
It was offbeat.
It was offbeat. It was something that I think for that kind of story, there's a lot of like levity in times of like for that particular scene, but also too whenever like the chase scenes would have, they would have like bluegrass music playing, like really upbeat bluegrass music playing. While they're being chased and being shot at, and the bank manager gets shot in the face and there's blood and there's, just a lot of really intense, posturing and just events going on. And you're just, it's just the throwing those elements into this film. It just made it so, so refreshing to see.
Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking of, we talked about during the movie is how cool are running boards on the side of cars?
Yeah, that's something.
Let's bring those back because that was awesome. There were so many getaways that were made possible by the running boards on the side of the car. But the one thing I did think was really stupid was that they walked around and told everybody that they were bank robbers and criminals.
But there you go.
Who does that?
In the Depression, what did you have to lose?
Did you just walk around and be like, hey, I'm a scamp. Hey, I'm a robber.
Hey,
and
I'm
it's
a,
totally okay.
I own a general store, ba-ding-a-dang-a-doo.
We're hobos. We live by the river.
You gotta let people know
what
you're doing.
We're homeless people who have a rocking chair tied to the top of our car.
Well, because you know what, though? Back then, everybody either was doing something or they weren't doing something because they were unemployed and eating dust and living by the water, hoping to feed their children and wash their clothes and get by another day. So for those people to be celebrities... In an era where there was, Bonnie and Clyde were celebrities in an era where, hopes were hard to come by, and So, I mean, maybe that's just what people looked up to them in some way. So why not go for the gusto? And obviously, from the get-go, you know, Clyde is just, you know, he's a star. You know, right. He knows he's a star. You know, he's showing off his gun. You know, Clyde, you know, body's stroking it like it's his wiener. I mean,
is he pretty much the only thing she got to stroke for most of the movie?
Well, that's what I didn't. That's the thing. It's like
I don't know if this is an actual part of their story or not, but in the movie, Clyde has a little bit of a trouble. He's kind of shy when it comes to the sexing, so she keeps trying to get with him, and he just keeps shooting her down.
Well, I don't think he's shooting her down.
He's totally shooting her down.
But is it something where he doesn't? Is he impotent? Because that's what I read.
I thought he was a virgin. Because then when they finally do have the sex, he was like, oh, he said something, and she was like, you were great. He was like, I was, wasn't I? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, finally, like, oh, I did it right. He says something along that line.
Mm.
Which is fine.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. It was his reaction at the very beginning, because you don't know that, is a little puzzling.
Right. But that's
maybe because we're so used to seeing sex where people just jump into it and, like, fuck, so it doesn't matter. Yeah,
It wasn't the Cinemax version of Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
Which,
this is not Knocked Up.
No. No, it was not. No, Judd Apatow did not direct Bonnie and Clyde.
No. There'd be a lot more snark and dick jokes if he had.
Jonah Ray as Clyde. And
Seth Rogen is
Jonah.
Bonnie.
Sorry, Jonah
Hill. Jonah Hill is Clyde.
Sorry, Jonah Ray is something completely different.
Seth Rogen as Bonnie. Maybe it's the other way around.
I don't know. I think hopefully not giving them any ideas. They're terrible ideas. So I don't think they're. Gonna, I don't think these are bad ideas. I don't think Judd Apatow is listening to our podcast. And
yeah, I can't imagine he's sitting there being like, I hate Ricky Gervais. What's on the podcast?
I'm bereft of creativity. I've got so much money. I don't know what to do anymore, and I don't know how to make film.
I'll listen to a podcast. No one's ever fucking heard of. We're on iTunes, by the way. Subscribe.
Yes. So
there was a segue,
but I loved it. I thought there was just a lot of really great things about in terms of just it's a complete movie. Mm-hmm. and another it's long.
It is long, but you know it didn't feel as long as like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
No, it didn't.
And I have to say, let's talk about the end scene, which I thought was fantastic, just really well done. You know, obviously they set a trap. Spoiler alert, this movie came out in 1967. If you need a spoiler alert, you suck. So, set a trap, Bonnie and Clyde get killed. The end. I mean, obviously, that's part of the story of the real Bonnie and Clyde. So, the way it was done was actually really great. It just got really quiet at the end after everybody got shot. I mean, they just riddled them with bullets, which is what actually happened. But they just riddled them with bullets. Mm. Just blood and horrible things happening, and they both die, and then it's just completely silent.
Yeah.
And that's actually something I noticed about the opening credits, too. Is that at the very, very beginning, there's no sound.
Yeah.
And then it sort of slowly comes in, and there's, like, old pictures and stuff. But that was completely different than, like, the big, you know, orchestra, band.
It's minimal usage of orchestration and just, you know, but it's convenient that way because, you know, they're trying to focus on the story, they're trying to focus on characters and trying to tell this historical occurrence in such a way that it's influenced, I think, as I mentioned, by the French New Wave, by Truffaut and Truffaut. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. But I mean, there's a European influence to it, and by seeing that on screen combined with the American actors and just I think it's beautiful.
Yes. So good movie. See it if you haven't. And enjoy the side boob.
Enjoy everything about it.
Well, enjoy everything, but enjoy the side.
Enjoy Gene Hackman and his performance. And
yeah, Gene Hackman was great.
I love Gene Hackman.
Didn't he say he didn't start acting until like his late 30s or something?
Well, he was doing stage stuff, and I think a lot of these professional actors, you know, these actors from this era, it's like they were just, you know, everybody started out on stage somehow, And that's how they progressed. It wasn't just like they just were seen in some sort of sex video or just happened to do something randomly.
You mean they weren't Kim Kardashian?
Yeah, they were saying it's not. It's saying the
it's not Paris Hilton.
No, and they were actors.
They actually had some sort of experience and background and reason to cast them in a movie besides getting pissed on by Ray J.
Oh God, yeah, no, there was just a fantastic cast all around, just a legendary movie, and by all means, you should see it.
Agreed. Yay.
Yay.
Okay. So that brings us to the second movie that we saw this week, which is also on our list.
Yes, it's on the AFI list.
100 Best Movies list. Older, probably about like 30 years older than Bonnie and Clyde.
We saw Duck Soup.
Duck Soup, Marx Brothers.
Yes. And this is the thing for the both of us. It is the our first Marx Brothers experience.
I have never seen anything by the Marx Brothers before. I am aware of the Marx Brothers. And maybe, I don't know. I feel horrible not liking this movie. I didn't like it, if that's what you wanted. Mm-hmm. I didn't. It had good moments. It definitely did. It had some good moments and stuff. But overall, I did not like this movie. And I feel really bad about that because I know it's classic comedy. I know that this is based right. It comes right out of vaudeville. I know the whole thing, and yet I didn't like it all. So I feel guilty right now.
Well, it's easy to be disappointed in something like this because you want to really like it because you know its significance to comedy.
Right.
And
I couldn't like it.
Just the, I mean, I liked the one-liners, and I liked.
There were some good one-liners.
I liked the one-liners. Honestly. I liked the absurdity of it. I didn't.
That sign that he was holding up, like "Join the Army, See the Navy."
Yeah,
that was pretty funny.
Well, just it's an absurd take, and after letting it settle in, I feel more appreciation towards it because it's just an absurd take on whatever they wanted to do as far as saying, oh, we got this country. Because basically the story goes is that there's a country called Fredonia, which is not to be confused with the New York town of Fredonia.
Is New York town called Fredonia?
Yeah, my brother went to college there.
Huh. The more you know.
But it was Fredonia or Freedom. I don't know.
Whatever.
Okay.
And they're singing.
They're singing. But it's the 30s. Everybody's singing.
Of course it did. Yeah.
But so anyway, so they're in the... They're doing their...
So, but anyway, Groucho becomes leader, king, whatever.
Yeah, he's a king.
Emperor of Fredonia because of this really rich woman who's like the only benefactor of the entire country.
So she decides to make him the king.
With no explanation as to why she's doing it. She just thinks he's good.
He thinks he's good, and then he has to run the country, and he can't because... Well, he does, but he's just very, you know, incompetent and just kind of weird. And everybody's a straight man. That's the thing about this movie is that everybody's a straight
except
man
the
to
Marx
them.
Brothers.
Except for the Marx Brothers. You know, the Marx Brothers, yeah, they're all just wacky and doing really insane things, but everybody just seems to put up with it because that's the world they live in and this is their movie, so I guess you have to accept that and not just assume that they would have been murdered.
Horribly, horribly murdered in the street.
Like, if this was Boston, like, if this movie was...
If this was anywhere else that is not wherever the fuck this movie took place.
Yeah, this was any... Yeah, this they would have been... Maybe it could have happened.
They would have been beaten. Severely.
There would have been...
If you burn two hats that belong to the same man, you will be beaten.
I think the moment that you potentially kick a man in his ass... And think that he's not
or
going to...
Or continue to lean into him just so the horn that's stuck in your jacket can make a funny sound. You're probably going to get punched.
Yeah, I'm sure he would not... Most people do not...
Especially if this is Boston.
Yeah, if this is Boston, this movie would have been like 3 seconds.
Yeah. You're like, eat pop.
There would have been like a Groucho...
Actually, I would have really liked that movie.
Groucho would have been waiting for the rest of the day. He's like, hey, where's...
Town Part 2.
Where's Harpo and Zeppo? He's like, oh, they're dead.
They got their asses kicked going to a fucking Sox game.
They're outside trying to honk some guy, and he got murdered.
Is that the technical
on Yawkey
term?
Way.
Is that the technical term, honk some guy?
He's trying to honk him.
Oh,
so,
geez.
Yeah, so that's...
I think that was my biggest problem, was the... and I can't remember which Marx brother plays.
Chico.
Chico.
Well, Chico and Harpo. were the ones for the spies.
Yeah, which one's the blonde? Chico?
The blonde one is Harpo.
Harpo, okay, so it's Harpo. And I know that at the time what he was doing was brand, you know, vaudeville, amazing to see on screen, the whole thing. But to see it now, after seeing it parodied, I can't even tell you how many times.
Yeah.
It really comes off as just like, oh, really? What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's, I know what he's doing, and I get it, and I wish I had more appreciation for it, but it was just like, oh my god, stop it.
It's pretty much like the best way to describe, put this into a modern perspective.
And then maybe that's the problem. I'm looking at it from too modern of a perspective.
Well, the best way that I think that just to put it into a modern perspective is Ace Ventura.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because, you know, every couple of minutes, you're getting some sort of bit that that features, you know, the main character just
doing having wacky it up, shit.
Being wacky and just doing something that you can't take your eyes off of, and you're laughing at it. And maybe back in the 30s, that's how that stuff was hilarious. And
of course.
I mean, look, I appreciated the absurdity of it. I mean, you kind of have to just be like, okay, clearly this is not a real country. They had to make up their own damn country to prove that this is, you know, so that the Marx Brothers go and ruin it.
Right.
Not so much that, you know, they're saying, oh, we're going to, you know, help save Luxembourg. I mean, Luxembourg would have just destroyed them too, I'm sure.
Right.
But
two fake
countries, basically, which I think it's funny because if it's a foreign country that's like, that somehow also features white people, rich
only,
white people.
Only white people. White people. Only white people. There is not one person of color in this movie. It's the 30s. Everyone is white. That is just the end of the story. Every fucking person in this movie is white.
Everyone.
And the horse is white.
No surprise, this movie was an NRA member. I don't know if
I don't know if that was a joke or not. But we'll go with maybe it was the truth.
I kind of hope it was a joke.
I do too. That would have made it funny. There was a lot of fucking guns in this movie. But of course they go to war. You expect it.
Well,
there are some songs. There's not a ton. It's obviously not a musical. There's maybe like three, maybe. Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah. I was actually kind of glad there wasn't a lot of songs, because I get really angry when I hear a lot of songs.
No, and I do think that the woman that they had play the wealthy benefactor, it was pretty obvious that she had spent a lot of time singing on stage.
Yeah.
Obviously. So.
Well, I mean, they're all stage actors.
Well, of course they are, but I mean, like, it was obvious that she had done, like, opera.
Yeah.
So I was kind of glad that she didn't bust it out every time, because I like opera or whatever, but.
Yeah.
That would have been a bit much. Every 2 seconds.
Yeah, no, this was, the moment somebody starts singing, I get mad in a movie. Or just, like, if I'm not a performance for, like a band, or if I'm not, I know something's not a musical, but if I'm at a, it was Scott Pilgrim, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a thing where they start singing, like, not the band, but they're like, you know, they start doing, like, a little number, and I was like, okay, if this is the rest of the movie, I'm going to be really pissed.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that's what was going to happen here. I thought it could be like, every so often, we're going to start singing, and we're going to have, and the movie's only, like, an hour and 6 minutes.
Yeah, it's not
hour,
long.
Hour and 8 minutes, so it's like, it's not long, so you're just kind of worried that, that I thought I was just going to be, my life's going to be wasted by all this song.
That's why you don't watch Glee.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that and no cable, but...
Yeah, but...
That's my point.
Yes.
The point is that there's too much fucking singing. No, you know, like I said, I feel awful that I just didn't enjoy this movie like I should have.
Yeah.
I really shouldn't. I should have been able to sit back and say, all right, this is a movie that, you know, and the Marx Brothers are, you know, godfathers of modern comedy and what we do today, and there's so much stuff you can see. I mean, they did the mirror thing, and there's just, like...
Well, just when you think about
physical
too,
gags and one-liners and just the way they're delivered and the straight man and the fish out of water, and there's stuff that I just should have loved and I just didn't.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of like influences. From like to like Monty Python,
oh, absolutely. Mr. Show,
and I wasn't so much lost on me.
It wasn't lost on me. I wish I had found it funnier than I did.
Yeah.
Because I wanted it to be like, oh my god, this is so hysterically funny. No one else has done anything like it since. It's so funny, and it just...
Because it's the original.
It's the original. So you want it to be so good.
It's kind of like saying, like Deep Purple is like, for me, I'm like, oh, Deep Purple is like the godfathers of metal. It's like, yeah, but not every song they do is metal.
Right.
And where you would think that it's metal, but you know, maybe like Smoke in the Water represents metal to a degree. So you're just like, well, this is, that means that's how the Marx Brothers should be, that they should represent all of comedy because this is the nucleus, you know, for film, and you know, for comedy on film, and for, you know, it just did not resonate with me as much as I thought it would.
Yeah.
Although I said I did appreciate, one of my favorite moments was the Harpo riding through the streets on a horse, kind of doing the Paul Revere ride.
Yeah.
And he decides to court a woman on his way in, and then he takes the horse in, and then I'm assuming that
see, she was in a separate bed. I don't know if you caught it. She was in a separate bed, and Harpo and the horse were in one bed.
Hmm.
So.
Well, I guess.
So, but
just like random asides like that, just, you know, Harpo or Groucho changing his uniform.
That was really funny. I enjoyed the changing of the uniform every single time you saw him. He was in a different uniform when it was during the war.
Yeah.
And that was pretty funny. And then, yeah, I mean, there was some good stuff. It was, he was eating crackers in bed, which was ridiculous. She just called him, and he was, for some reason, just laying in bed eating and they were everywhere. Just crackers.
I missed that.
Did you miss that? She like called him to be like, come over here right now to get these war plans or something. No, it wasn't the war plans. It was like to come over and talk to the guy he had offended and slapped across the face. And he's just laying in bed with crackers all around him, just eating crackers. And then she's like, oh, if you're coming over, bring cheese.
That's okay. I get that. I was wondering why he just told her to bring cheese.
Yeah, because he's laying in a bed of crackers. And so, like, that I thought was good. I thought that was pretty funny and absurd, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So, I just wanted to enjoy more of it.
There was more to it. I felt there was enough of it to appreciate, but it didn't knock me over like I thought it would.
Yeah.
And I really wanted it to. I was like, well, this is going to blow me away. Then I guess I understand comedy, and I guess I can go forth and be like, I'm complete comedy man. And I can
you got, like, a cape. Yeah. Big fucking C.
Yeah, just big double C on my chest, complete comedy, and I'm just ripping up open mics because I saw the Marx Brothers and I get hilarity. And maybe I don't. I don't know. Maybe I need to watch more because there are more movies on that list.
Maybe you need to do a grease paint mustache and just start doing open mics.
I always thought that it was, when I saw his mustache, I always thought it was a real mustache.
I did too. I actually had never seen a picture of him that close up before because... Or just any sort of... I hadn't bothered to look... I mean, obviously, you know what Groucho Marx looks like, but I never really bothered to see a picture of him close up enough to be like, wait a second, that's painted on.
Well, even if it was fake, I thought that maybe it was, like, fake hair mustache. I didn't realize it was paint.
No, well, apparently, because this is according to Wikipedia, that the grease paint mustache came about because right before he went on stage, just randomly, doing a vaudeville act, because he was tired of pulling off the adhesive to the fake one every night, because obviously that would probably hurt. So he did like a grease paint mustache, and then he realized that it looked really weird, so he did grease paint eyebrows, just walked on stage.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. And he wore that so long, and this is before obviously the paparazzi and the whole thing, so when he was in public without the grease paint, nobody knew who he was.
Genius.
Which is actually fantastic.
Which is fantastic.
Apparently he used to embarrass everybody he knew in public. Because there's, like, some story on Wikipedia, and it's not cited, so it's, who knows, but I guess he, like, would be at a restaurant, and his wife would be like, tell him who you are, and of course, without the grease paint, nobody knew who he was, and he would be like, I'm, Mr. Jones, and these are all the Joneses, referencing the family, and then she'd get pissed, and be like, tell him who you really are, and he'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm Mr. Smith, and these are all the Smiths, and she'd get pissed off. So I guess everybody that knew him was embarrassed by him at least once.
Apparently he was good friends with Elton John.
Really?
And they went to go see Superstar, Jesus Christ Superstar together. And hilarity ensued, so.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. I was going to say just one last thing about the mustache. Apparently he did, towards the end of his life, grow a real mustache.
Well, you think that at some point maybe he would, you know, it probably would help, you know, to have that. Because then you put in that freeze paint, can't be good for the pores.
No, it probably smells. I don't know what grease paint actually smells like. I've never used it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it probably wasn't as that
makeup-y.
Yeah, probably wasn't always that convenient. Or maybe it was. I don't know. I mean, probably. But then again, you know, it's a good idea not to have to rip off that adhesive all the time. Probably not that good for the pores either. So I'm sure he probably had a happy medium with that.
Yeah.
But okay. But anyways, the movie.
Enough about his mustache.
Yeah, take it or leave. You know what? I probably have to see more Marx Bros. To really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think I will. Try in the future to maybe see more Marx Brothers and just see if, like, you know, maybe it's like, well, maybe I'm missing something. So this is my first real experience with the Marx Brothers.
Same.
And so, you know, I don't know for certain if I've made a decision.
Yeah, and maybe I do need to just sit back and, like, look at it not through such a modern perspective. When, I mean, comedy has evolved so much and it is so edgy, and we have, like, you know, alternative, quote, all comics now, and I mean, you can just, and vaudeville has fallen to the wayside so long ago that it's almost like, what the hell?
Yeah. But things will, too, I guess maybe you can appreciate it for that era. It was a very absurd take.
Oh, yeah.
On whatever, on
running a
warring countries, yeah, and
running a country,
the American politics and whatever, you know, in combat. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot to be said, and I can see why it would be on this list. Just because these films, Duck Soup and Bonnie and Clyde, took chances in areas that you normally wouldn't expect for that area because of just the way, you know, you think that culture was at that time, and this is what people were escaping to. And you know what? If we were alive in those eras, I'm sure we'd probably be going to those.
I hope so. But I mean, I'm sure if I was alive when Duck Soup premiered and I had enough money to actually see it, I would have really enjoyed it. I'm sure I would have. I would have thought it was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. But because I live now and because we have such a different view and whatever, I just didn't see it as funny as I was wanting it to be.
Well, I guess we weren't as mean to it as I thought we would be.
No, you know what? I wasn't. And because I was actually, I'm more disappointed in just myself than anything else. I am mad at me for not understanding. I'm just not finding it as funny as I should have, I guess.
No.
Maybe that's the point. And I feel like I missed something. So.
I think
take it or leave it, whatever.
But I'm glad I saw it.
I'm glad I saw it.
Now we can say someone says, "Have you seen the Groucho Brothers?"
Marx
Brothers. I'm gonna call him Groucho because I always think of him.
But everybody always thinks of him.
Have you ever seen the Marx Brothers? Yes, I have. Have you seen Bonnie and Clyde?
I have seen it. I have seen Bonnie and Clyde, and I have seen Faye Dunaway's side boob.
Her side boob was everywhere in the '70s, to be honest. It was a network.
That's right, she was in Network, and she walked around with no bra on that whole fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently you just do that.
She was braless for most of the '70s, probably. I haven't seen Chinatown.
I wish I could do it.
I haven't seen Chinatown, but
I have seen Chinatown, and I honestly do not remember the state of her breasts.
Yeah, well, she was old timey back then, so maybe she was just like,
I'm sure there is some blog somewhere that is just dedicated to her tits. Just picture every movie that she's in. It's like the status of her breasts.
I wonder if Wikipedia has a section
Bonnie and Clyde,
about her lack of brassiere.
Yeah, Bonnie and Clyde, side boob. Network, braless. Every other fucking movie she's ever been in, and her boobs.
Mm.
I'm sure there is. I mean, there is a Tumblr that is just Kanye West lyrics rewritten about food. So there has to be somewhere out there.
To the internet.
To the internet. There has to be something. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it for this week.
I think that's it. And like we said, you know, we are on iTunes, so please subscribe. You know, you can find us online at haven'tseenit.tumblr.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter.
Yes.
At Haven't Seen It Pod.
So yeah, follow us on Twitter and email us at haven'tseenit@gmail.com.
Always. So yeah, I'm Jen Stansfield.
I'm Sean Merrick.
And thanks for listening.